Want to try a free sample?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, time to consult the online experts.
You only eat after you're walking 10,000 steps.
Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com. Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. I'm Davis Maddock, joined today by George Kurtz. No Craig Mish. He has a day off with the Jewish holiday, so I am here with George Kurtz, of course, to talk about his New York Yankees Aaron Judge hitting home run number 62. We are going to take a long look at the waiver wire this week. I think probably the most important waiver wire week of the year that we have had up until this point, and then a little bit of panic or patience with some of these stud guys in the NFL right now. George, we're here. Home runs number 62 happened. How are you feeling today?
Yeah, I mean, about time, right? I think it's the first thing that happened there. It took Judge a long time to get it. He was slumping a little bit. They weren't pitching to him. And by the way, credit to Texas. They came right at him in all the every game this series. They weren't trying to pitch around him at all. He's going to hit it. He's going to hit it. Congrats to them here. I don't think people realize you witnessed history yesterday if you watched the game. 61 years that record has stood in the American League. Yeah, I know McGuire, Sosa, and Bonds have all passed that record, but that's the National League. And I'm not, you know, whatever you feel about whether or not they are the actual record or not because of the steroids, hey, that's your right to feel whatever way you want to. But American League record, it's set for 61 years. So we witnessed history last night. I think it's hard for some people to realize what you really saw last night.
Yeah, I mean, I'm totally fine with, you know, the AL home run record or whatever. And you're right, it did stand for a long time. And I think Aaron Judge should own that. But I certainly am not going to be one of these people that that forget those National League home runs, right? Clean, not clean. You know, I mean, then you get into like, well, Aaron Judge has had access to the absolute best medicine and training and hitting coaches that guys 10, 20, 30 years ago, you know, simply would not have been able to dream of. So, but of course, congratulations to Aaron Judge, who does hit number 62 against the Texas Rangers, sets the New York Yankees and the American League single season record. Hats off to him. The Pittsburgh Steelers have officially promoted Kenny Pickett to their starting quarterback. Don't think we are going to see Mitch Trubisky for a long time. The Atlanta Braves and not the New York Mets win the American League or the National League East. I saw a lot of Mets fans on my Twitter timeline pretty bummed out about this. Zion Williamson returned to the court last night for the Pelicans, and this is not on our rundown, but we did get a sneak preview of the number one and the number two selections in the NBA draft last night. Scoop Henderson and Victor Wembanyama, they played against each other last night in an exhibition game. That's what really drew my eyes. But let's go here to Kenny Pickett. I mean, pretty brutal spot for him to have to start against the Buffalo Bills in his very first professional game, George.
Yeah, but what was Doug Tomlin going to do here? I mean, you can make an argument, okay, he should have started him before the Jets game. And that's the argument to be made here. Because no matter when he would have started him now, the schedule is not getting any easier. I mean, that's going to be the issue, right? Yeah, in Buffalo. I mean, I don't know if you could pick a harder time, right? I mean, is there a worse place to be playing right now than in Buffalo? But what's on your schedule after that? You know, then you got Tampa, you got Miami, you got Philadelphia. I mean, you're talking the better defense in the NFL. You know, then you get the bye week, and it doesn't get any easier after that. So I don't know if they would have been a perfect time to do this, unless you wanted to wait until later in the season. I don't think you wanted to wait till then. As I said, I would have done it before the Jets game, and I'm not really making fun of the Jets here, but their defense is not the defense that's upcoming here. So that's my only criticism of this. They had to make this change. The team was going nowhere under Trubisky. I know everyone's pointing out, well, Pickett threw three interceptions last week. You look at those interceptions. The first one, he gave Chase Claypool a chance, threw a ball, pretty much a punt down the field. Claypool went up for it, the ball got deflected, and the defender caught the deflection there. Yes, it probably had minimal chance of being caught. You know, there were two defenders there. Maybe the ball shouldn't have been thrown, but I don't have really a big deal with it. The second interception, it went through Freiberg's hands. Yes, Freiberg had a jump for it. And maybe not everybody makes that catch, but it probably shouldn't have been intercepted. Probably it should have been caught by Freiberg or just, you know, fell safely to the ground there. And the last interception was a Hail Mary, don't care. You know, that's all what happens at the end of the games here. So I'm not going to get on him for the interceptions yet. Plus, he had no preparation. Now he does. We'll see. That being said, I got to tell you, Davis, I think it might be kind of ugly here for the next couple of weeks. And if I'm a Claypool owner, by the way, speaking of the waiver wire, I am likely moving on.
Yeah, I think Claypool has moved to a guy you can comfortably drop. I mean, you know, don't drop him if there is no better option out there, but not necessarily a guy I would be clinging on to if I needed to create some space. I mean, Pickett, pretty interesting, completed 80% of his passes in the preseason, did not have a single pass hit the turf against the Jets, right? 10 for 10, and then had the three interceptions, which, as George just went through, not exactly all his fault. He had 9.2 yards per pass attempt. Mitch Trubisky has never this season had a game with over 6.5 yards per pass attempt. Just to compare him to the guy he played against, our old buddy, Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson has one career game with a yards per pass attempt over 7.4. It was an 8.7 YPA. So I'm pretty excited to watch Kenny Pickett play quarterback against the Buffalo Bills. Now, the Bills have been extremely stout for, you know, for fantasy football here, what we're talking about today on Fantasy Sports Today. If, you know, just quarterback versus the Buffalo Bills has averaged less fantasy points per game than Justin Fields. So not exactly a spot that we are wanting to attack. I do think, you know, if he's out there in super flex leagues, 16 teams, anything like that, I think this is probably a cheaper week to get him, because no one is picking up Pickett, I don't think, to start against the Buffalo Bills. But we're going to get into that and much more throughout the course of the show. Going to do a little bit of panic or patience and then take a deep look at the waiver wire this week. Then, of course, wrap the show up with fantasy or reality. Don't go anywhere. Stay here with George and I for the next hour. We'll see you then. Stay on the grid, everybody.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by George Kurtz. No Craig Mish today. We are through a month of the fantasy football season. You might have some teams that are 4-0, some teams that are 0-4, 1-3. You know, it's I think a month, you know, kind of like we talk about in the fantasy baseball season. We like to look at our teams after about 6 weeks to try and figure out what moves we need to make. I think a month, probably a pretty good spot in fantasy football. Figure out, do I have a winner? Do I have a contender? Do I need to be, you know, cutting some underperformers and then, you know, picking up some rookies or some guys who have had more consistent roles? Or do I just need to stick it out? Do I need to, you know, go with the long-term track record of some of these guys? And I think our friend Matthew Stafford is going to be the first guy here in panic or patience. Stafford has been brutal this season, only 4 passing touchdowns, 2 consecutive games with no passing touchdowns, 0 300-yard games. Their schedule does open up a little bit. They're going to play against the Dallas Cowboys. They're going to play against the Carolina Panthers over the next 2 weeks, but another game looming at home against the 49ers, a team that just make the Rams look pretty silly. So, you know, in a year where the bottom end of quarterback, you know, Geno Smith has looked really good, Jared Goff, you know, the former Los Angeles Rams quarterback, is lighting it up. I mean, what are we doing with Matthew Stafford? Do you hold it out, or do you cut him and move on, George?
Well, I think in a one quarterback league, and that's what we're talking about here, not a super flex, although most leagues should be a super flex league, boys and girls, not a one quarterback league. This way you have this decision, it might be much tougher in that case. You'd have to hold on to him. But in a one quarterback league, you likely have quarterbacks on your waiver wire who are doing better. I mean, you said the schedule opens up. I would probably take umbrage with that. Cowboys have one of the best pass defenses in the league. All right, they're going to come after Stafford on Sunday. I don't know if they're going to win the game, but they'll come after Stafford. I don't see a big game coming from Stafford Sunday. I think they're going to have a very similar game plan to what they did against the Niners. Short pass to the cup. It's really all they can do. They don't have time to do much else here, and no one else in that receiving corps is truly, I was going to say, is stepping up. But I don't know if anyone in that receiving corps is capable of stepping up. Robinson is not the same player. It looks like his legs are gone. Right, he's one of those guys who may have gotten old quick. So he may be a problem. Might be able to move on from him as well here, as far as that's concerned. I think that's hurting the team here. They need that second wide receiver to open that offense up. They need the raw offensive line to get healthy. They need the running backs to be a threat. And right now, none of this is happening. I'm willing to move on from Stafford. I want to know who else is on your waiver wire, but in a one quarterback league for, I don't want to say every league. In some leagues, I know everyone takes a backup quarterback and maybe there's nothing left. But I would move on. Goff might be out there. I mean, he's lighting it up. I know it's kind of ironic to take Goff in a fantasy league over Stafford, but I might go for him. There are other golf quarterbacks as well here. Maybe you don't want to release Stafford. You want, oh, I'll keep my roster to check now, but I don't see how you're starting him. I said Dallas, good pass defense. Even Carolina next week is not an awful pass defense. Then you get the bye, and they come back against San Fran and Tampa Bay. Where's your upside here? Week 10? Might be done by then. I'm moving on.
Yeah, I'm moving on from him as well. I think I would take Zach Wilson over him. I think the Jets are going to be more confident passing offense. Certainly, I would rather have Jared Goff. I think Kenny Pickett, not this week, but Kenny Pickett pretty soon, pretty interesting. I think there are a lot of ways to go at quarterback that does not include some of these established guys like Russell Wilson and Matthew Stafford. Our next guy, honestly, a clear panic for me, Chase Edmonds. He's been trending down in terms of snaps played every single week this season. 63% in week one, 51% in week two, 44% in week three, and then down to only 28%, 18 snaps on that Thursday night game against the Cincinnati Bengals. Raheem Mostert pretty clearly looks like the lead back for the Miami Dolphins. I am out on Chase Edmonds. I don't think I would cut him, simply because running back is so, so bad, and he is a Raheem Mostert ankle turn away from being the primary running back there. But I don't have a ton of confidence of him earning a larger share of this backfield, George.
I agree with everything you said here. And I think the most important part is what you said last. I wouldn't cut him either. I mean, he's a healthy running back, a breathing running back. Right, so we sort of have to keep him on our roster, but you're not starting him. I think that's the most important thing. You're not starting. And plus, byes are going to start. Usually they start this week. I guess they're a little late in the NFL because of the 18-week season now. So, and we're going to need every running back we can get here. So I'm not cutting him, but I'm not starting him either here. Maybe you're strong at running back or you don't have any dead spots and you're going to be in this Mike Boone hunt this week, right? Because that's going to be a very big pickup in fantasy for Denver with Javonte Williams gone. So I can see that being a decision you have to make. And I'm probably okay with it, in that situation, but I'm not rushing to get rid of them only because, like I said, there's just any running back with a pulse generally has some value.
Yeah, for sure. So moving now to the wide receiver position, we have Chase Claypool of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Started out the year pretty bright, got 6 rushing attempts. We thought, maybe Chase Claypool is the Debo Samuel of this Steelers offense. They have cut that back significantly. He also played his lowest percentage of snaps in that game against the New York Jets, was a 90% snap share guy, only played 70% of the snaps against the Jets. I do wonder if that will revert, and they just played a lot of the two tight end stuff to just kind of keep Kenny Pickett safe against the Jets in his first start, leaving an extra blocker in there, basically having an extra lineman. Honestly, very similar to Chase Edmonds. I would cut Chase Claypool if the situation arose, right? If I had a really strong bench and I was going to pick up Mike Boone or Melvin Gordon or maybe Khalil Shakir for the Buffalo Bills. But I don't want to drop Chase Claypool, but I don't think I would be – I for sure would not be starting him this week against the Buffalo Bills, George.
Everything's trending in the wrong direction for Claypool here. You said he's got Buffalo, Tampa, Miami, Philadelphia, bye week, New Orleans. Once again, where's your upside here? All right, all of a sudden, now that Pace the quarterback, well, where's he on the target pool? All right, Deontay Johnson, he's going to be ahead of him. I think Freiburg, I think tight ends are always big when it comes to the rookie quarterback because big target plays close to the line of scrimmage, easy pass to throw to there. George Pickens all of a sudden had a huge, for him, much better chemistry with Pickett here. So I think he's going to be ahead of Claypool here. I just don't see the upside here. I'm moving on. I've got Claypool in a couple of leagues. I've already been frustrated by him. That's probably more about Mitch Trubisky throwing the ball to him or the offense in general than maybe Claypool here. But now that Pickett's the quarterback, I'm just not seeing it. I'm not saying the next couple of weeks are tough here. I'm probably not dropping him yet, but I think what's going to happen to me, Dave, is that during those bye weeks, and I haven't checked all of these leagues, I'm going to have a team that's like, I'm losing 4 or 5 players here. I got no chance to win this week. Maybe I need to win. It could be one of those things where maybe I'm 500 or a little even below 500. I need a W here. I need a player. Can't take a zero there. I think that's going to be a league that I'm going to move on from Claypool.
Yeah, probably the biggest hot button name in fantasy football right now is the Atlanta Falcons tight end, Kyle Pitts. He has only 10 receptions for 150 yards through four games. He, the last two games for the Falcons, has only played 67% and 62% of the team's snaps. Marcus Mariota threw an interception in their most recent game against the Browns. The team responded by running 14 straight times. Parker Hesse was on the field during that run instead of Kyle Pitts. I would say patience. It is impossible for me to believe that Kyle Pitts is not going to end up being a super meaningful fantasy football contributor. What say you, George?
Well, I agree with you. I mean, you almost have to be patient, because I might ask you this. If you're going to drop him, who are you picking up? And really, who are you picking up that has any kind of major upside over Pitts? We know Pitts can play the game. He's just not being used in the offense, or Mariota doesn't throw to the tight end. You know, not every quarterback does. He's looking down the field, or he's running, or whatever it is. And they're not game planning to get the ball to Pitts, right? He's not being the first read on a lot of these routes, or he's staying in to block, because that's the kind of offense they have here. I think what's so disappointing here, Davis, is that the Atlanta passing offense and rush has been decent. It hasn't been pathetic like we thought it might be here. It's been okay. Yet Pitts is not getting the looks. But that being said, now I don't think I have Pitts very, very few places. I wasn't drafting a tight end early, so I waited. I don't think I have him anywhere, so I don't have this decision to make. But if I did, yeah, unless someone fell, I mean, on your Higby's there, maybe. Everett, maybe. Other than that, I'm waiting off a pitch to hopefully break out.
Yeah, I'm waiting for him too. I would even probably send out some trade offers for him this week as well. There's just no way. There's no way. Kyle Pitts is absolutely going to get there. We're going to run into break here real quick on FST. When we return, George and I will be attacking the fantasy football waiver wire in week 5. Stay on the grid. See you back in a few moments.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Manick, joined by George Kurtz. No Craig Mish with us today. Week 5, biggest waiver wire of the entire year. I don't think there's really any question about it. Getting this week correct, I think, is going to end up determining a lot of fantasy football championships, and that could go in either direction, right? It could be hitting the key free agent this week or spending far too much on a guy who ends up being useless and not having any fab money left to, you know, really get some of those. Like, just every year there are always a couple week 10, 11, 12, 13 waiver wire acquisitions who come in because 19 guys ahead of them have gotten injured and they just soak up all this playing time. So I think it's pretty important to be careful this week. We're going to begin with the quarterback position. You know, Jared Goff just has to lead this spot. He is still not owned in every fantasy football league. I know that even in some of my high stakes leagues, 20 man rosters, you know, $2,000 entry fee, $1 million in first place, Jared Goff is still out there in some of them. Geno Smith has been a top 10 fantasy football quarterback this season, adding a little bit of rushing production. Difficult matchup this week against New Orleans. We talked about Kenny Pickett a little bit in the introduction. I'm pretty intrigued by what he's doing. Maybe not feeling that good about him in terms of streaming this week against Buffalo. We have Jimmy Garoppolo, who plays against the Panthers. I probably would not be that in on Jimmy. You know, and then I think we got to talk about Zach Wilson as well, who looked pretty solid for the New York Jets last week and is getting to throw to some of the best wide receiver. I mean, one of the best wide receiver trios in the NFL, no doubt about it. What do you got for the quarterbacks, Jordan?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny with Geno Smith, right? They let they get rid of Russell Wilson, and now they let the quarterback cook. That's it. Just strange here. Geno Smith, well, he's looked pretty good here. Maybe not the strongest schedule he's faced here, but we don't care about that. He's putting up numbers here. Goff is the guy that I think is going to be most interesting because, as you said, he's not owned in every league. So he's out there in some leagues here. You're going to have to make that decision. Do I believe in Jared Goff to release Matthew Stafford? You know, to release an underwhelming quarterback here? You know, and that's going to be a tough one for me. Detroit, the good news is for fantasy owners, they're scoring a ton of points. Obviously, that's good. Well, they're giving up a ton of points, too, which means he has to keep throwing here. We don't know when Swift is going to return to the team. He put up those numbers. Yes, it was against Seattle. That's a poor defense. But he put up those numbers without St. Brown. right? I mean, without Chark, too, for what it's worth. We had no one to throw to, yet they still scored a million points there. I said, for a lower-level quarterback, I'm probably going to have to buy in on Goff. I can't believe I'm saying this, but he's my favorite out of this group here. I don't have the same, interest in Pickett that you do. Maybe that schedule, I think, is brutal. I think it's going to hurt him a little bit, and I have almost zero interest in Jimmy G. I'm not going to knock Jimmy G. He wins games, but he's not really a fantasy player who's going to light it up for you. So Goff, by far, is, I think, going to be the polarizing guy this week. I think he's that guy, Davis, that can either win you a league, or if you claim him and drop somebody who's decent, could end up losing you a league as well.
Yeah, I definitely think you are correct. So let's move on to the running back position now. I mean, if you have the answer to this question, you are probably going to do very well in your fantasy football leagues. So Cordarrelle Patterson gets put on the designated for return IR with a knee injury. Javonte Williams is going to be out for the rest of the season with a knee injury. So we have Tyler Allgeier, and I would put Caleb Huntley on this list as well. Both of them got 10 carries against the Browns. Brian Robinson Jr. got shot in the leg 6 weeks ago and is expected to be playing for the Washington football team this week. Then we have Mike Boone, who played 19 snaps to Melvin Gordon's 10 snaps last week. And then Rashad White, who I would actually put him atop this list. I think Rashad White is probably going to end up being a league-winning player, but I know that he is owned in most pretty competitive leagues at this point. So the interesting thing with Boone and Gordon is that there was some reporting before that Raiders-Broncos game on Sunday that Melvin Gordon was specifically going to be rested because they had a short turnaround, right? They're playing again on Thursday night. Melvin Gordon obviously is a little bit of an older running back, going to be hard for him to play, you know, 40 snaps on a Sunday, then 40 snaps again on a Thursday. And, you know, the additional thing here is Boone looked horrible in that game against the Raiders. It would be really different if Boone had, you know, caught all these passes, ripped off some long runs. No, you know, drops an easy pass on third down. Now, Melvin Gordon fumbled too. I mean, just what a mess of a situation. What are we making of Mike Boone versus Latavius Murray versus Melvin Gordon for the Denver Broncos, George?
Well, you sort of glossed over it. Not only did Melvin Gordon fumble in that game, he's fumbled five of the last seven games. All right, that's a problem. That's a problem. I'll tell you one thing. I'm a Melvin Gordon owner in a couple of leagues, all right? And I would say, oh, hey, he might be starting running back now. He puts that ball on the ground Thursday, he's going to be in Never Neverland, all right? They can't keep going back if he keeps putting the ball on the ground. So I'll be nervous. I'll actually be nervous that Gordon's going to fumble again, and now it doesn't matter here. I think you have to claim Boone. You're right. He looked terrible on Sunday, but hey, most of Denver looked terrible all season long here. But there's an opportunity now. That's all I can ask for. So, yes, I'll be bidding on all these guys that they're available. They're not available in most leagues I play in. Boone is, but the other three really aren't. But if they are, I'm bidding on them, and I'm bidding pretty high. We just said it earlier. Running back with a pulse, you want. These guys have more than a pulse. They're alive. All right, they're going to play here. I am interested in Rashad White, like you said. I think he's sort of a sneaky. It's Fournette. No, I think Rashad White's going to get more and more as the season goes on here. Someone I'm definitely interested in. So I think they're sneaky plays here, but I want all these guys. Robinson's an incredible story. He gets shot twice, and he's going to play. That's amazing to me. I thought he'd be done for the season when you first heard that. And now he's going to come back and play. But my problem with Robinson is this. You still got Gibson there. You still got McKissick there. I know they're going to hope that he turns around the offense, which is a mess right now since week one with Carson Wentz. Shocking, I know. But you know, it's still a three-headed monster there. How are they going to split that up? Who's going to be the goal line guy? I need to know all this before I start going on Robinson. That being said, I do think he's likely the most talented of the trio for the Commanders.
Yeah, I mean, I think probably Brian Robinson will be the goal line back, which is definitely pretty unfortunate for Antonio Gibson. At this point, I mean, starting any Washington football team running back could be Brian Robinson, Gibson, McKissick, doesn't matter. I mean, just you're not going to want to start any of them if all three of them are playing. And then, you know, the injury to Jahan Dotson is also just going to make them less efficient on offense because they're either going to be playing a second tight end with John Bates or be playing De'Ami Brown, who just really does not look like that good of an NFL wide receiver. So just kind of a situation to avoid. For my two cents, I would say a good spot is to bid like 30% on Mike Boone. 15 to 20% on Algier. But then if Rashad White is out there, I would bid a lot on Rashad White. I think he is going to come into a pretty nice role in the Buccaneers offense. Moving to the wide receivers now, Corey Davis looking pretty good. Isaiah McKenzie suffered an injury for the Buffalo Bills. I think with the NFL's new emphasis on these quote unquote new concussion rules, I actually think Khalil Shakir may be the best bid of the entire week for just for any position, right? I think Jamison Crowder also left the game for the Bills, reportedly on crutches, dealing with an ankle injury. We have Zay Jones returning from injury. He might have been dropped in some of your leagues after Jamal Agnew scored the two touchdowns last week on only 18 snaps. And then Jarvis Landry, just kind of a good filler guy. But Shakir is the guy I'm really interested in. He was super good for Boise State his final season. We've seen the Bills be really successful with these day three wide receiver draft picks, right? I mean, Gabe Davis was a fourth round selection. Isaiah McKenzie was a guy who was on their practice squad. I mean, Jake Kumerow, practice squad guy. Like, that's just kind of what the Bills organization does. I would bid a lot. Relatively speaking, I think I'd bid like 11 to 15% on Shakir this week for the Bills.
Yeah, I wonder if now I think you're playing in more advanced leagues, right? People, I think in home leagues, I don't know if you'll have to do that, you know, because I don't think people will know about him as much. So I think you might be able to get away with a little cheaper on him. I think once again, we're looking at leagues where we play and where kind of people are tuned in. You know, a lot of home leagues aren't that way. It's a name they may not know. I give people, who did this guy just bid on? You know, so I think you might be able to get away with a little cheaper here. Maybe. Depends on how informed your league is. It's always the game we play when it comes to fab. You know, some owners pay a lot of attention. Some owners don't. They sleepwalk through the year here. Except we're getting also, I like to get ahead of the curve as far as bye week as well here. I like Zay Jones a lot. I think he's going to be fine. I think he's played well, did get hurt. I think he is going to play this week. We watch the practice reports to make sure that he's a guy I'm interested in. Certainly Corey Davis. I agree with you said about Zach Wilson. We sort of saw that last year, right? When he came back from the injury last year, he played better. You know, I wouldn't say great, but better. You know, so I think once again, we're seeing a continuation of that. Yes, he had the injury in training camp. Yes, he has to learn how to slide, and I don't want to hear about it. Slide, for crying out loud. All these quarterbacks should slide. Some of these quarterbacks taking way too many hits, by the way. Slide. The rules are there so you don't get hit. But he's playing better here, and Davis seems to be one of his targets there. And Davis was productive at times at Tennessee. This is not like it's a nobody here, so I kind of like Corey Davis as well. But I want to get ahead of the curve for my bye week, so that's what I'm looking at as well here. But all these guys, I think, have some value to your fantasy team.
Yes, I definitely think that you are correct. And finally, our tight ends, we got Tyler Conklin, Hayden Hurst, Robert Tonyan, Mo Alie-Cox. I would toss two other names on this list. The guys I'm bidding on in some deeper leagues this week, O.J. Howard actually ran the most routes of any Texans tight end. Then they cut Pharaoh Brown, who had been their leading receiver at tight end. I think Howard for the Texans is pretty interesting. And then Greg Dulcich coming back from this hamstring injury for the Broncos relatively soon.
Give me some Mo Alie-Cox. He's the guy I'm looking at here. Mo Alie-Cox. Matt Ryan's throwing to him, and he's getting touchdowns, which is all he's ever seems to have done here. So give me all the Mo Alie-Cox. I like Conklin as well here. You mentioned O.J. Howard. I've got him in a deep league, Davis. I'm not starting him, but I've got him in it's a huge league here. That's why I have him. So I'd like to see that, but I don't think I have the nerve to start him yet.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I mean, just what a bad position tight end has been this year. It's like you drafted Kelsey, you drafted Mark Andrews, you drafted TJ Hawkinson. You know, good luck. You're having a good year. If not, you are having a really tough time. So that is a comprehensive look at the waiver wire for fantasy football in week 5. We are going to go ahead and run it.
Try a free sample of Berry Pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait. Will this send me spiraling out of my routine?
Time to consult the online experts.
One bite will destroy your metabolism. Drink butter coffee instead to kill cravings.
What? Is it really that bad? I had protein this morning, right? Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again?
Fruit ruins
never
insulin.
Never eat after 7 p.m.
One cheat day. Stop it!
They don't know your body, only you do. Signos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at signos.com. That's SIGNOS.com with code SPARK. Signos.
break here real quick on FSP. Fantasy or reality, when we return, don't go anywhere. See you back in a few minutes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by George Kurtz. A reminder, before we get into fantasy reality, please be following at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV on social media. You're going to get all of the best news, notes, analysis. They're going to have highlights from this show, highlights from Pharrell Coast to Coast, The Morning After, everyone who is doing great work, Ben Stevens, Kevin Walsh, George when he hops on, you know, every single show on the network, all the good stuff that we have going on here at Sports Grid. You're going to be able to keep up with that, even if you're not watching the channel, you know, 24 hours a day. And, you know, George, we are nearing the end of the baseball season. We are about to head into the playoffs. My St. Louis Cardinals, actually, they're not my St. Louis Cardinals. I just happen to live here, are hosting some playoff games this weekend. But I just, you know, from a fan perspective, right, because you're a Yankees fan, what is the Judge 62 home runs mean to you? I mean, is it going to be a good season as a Yankees fan if you get this record, but the Yankees don't win the World Series? Like, what is your perspective on that individual record?
Well, I think I separate the two, right? I think what Judge done has been fantastic. I think it's been very good for the game. The record stood for 61 years. Kind of ironic, right? Roger Maris hit 61 in 1961, and it's 61 years later that Judge breaks the record. So it's a huge thing. Like I said, it's a record that stood for 61 years. Like I said, I am of the belief that, yes, Bonds does hold the major league record. I'm not going to get to the steroids thing. I think you sort of hinted at it earlier. All these guys did something, right? Babe Ruth never had to play, wasn't integrated, right? The players from the 40s to the 70s are using amphetamines like they were Tic Tacs, all right? So, and then, of course, the 80s on, we had the steroids going on here. So everybody's done something, you know? So I'm not going to get into that. Bonds is the record holder here. Yes, Judge likely did it clean. Doesn't need to do anything. The man's a monster. He's huge, right? So good for him. I think it's been, I said, great for the Yankees. I do not think the Yankees will win the World Series. They're a good team, but I think Houston's the best team in the American League, and Houston's the Yankees' bugaboo. Good chance the Yankees play Tampa Bay in a round and when they play in the playoffs. We know Tampa Bay, boy, another team the Yankees don't want to face there, so that could be a problem as well here. But still, anyway you look at it, a good season for the Yankees, but I don't think they're going to reach their ultimate goal.
Yeah, which, you know, that's fine, right? I mean, it must be nice to be a Yankees fan and just pretty much always have some great players always in or around the playoffs. I mean, as a Kansas City Royals fan, you know, it's not the best. I mean, the funnest thing that happened this year is having an Italian first baseman, right? In Vinny P. That was like the most interesting thing I guess Bobby Witt having, you know, a pretty great year, and the Mariners giving the Royals some hope in terms of like a smaller payroll team with a young generational superstar and Julio Rodriguez, maybe, and moving on from Dayton Moore, you know, we could see some things happening. But we are now going to get into fantasy or reality. It's time. So for the first time in, I believe, a decade, the Patriots are playing against the Lions, and they are going to be wearing their classic, very, very cool throwback uniforms. I mean, these are, George, these are really great uniforms. People have a lot of feelings on what is the best throwback uniform. I would imagine that, you know, that's pretty localized in terms of which uniforms are going to be considered the coolest. But fantasy or reality, the New England Patriots have the best throwback uniforms in the NFL.
Ooh, I mean, I love these uniforms. I love the way you guys call them throwback, by the way. Thank you for making me feel old here. I grew up with these, okay? This is what I grew up with. This is the Patriots to me, not the blue things with the whatever the thing on the helmet is nowadays. I grew up with the guy, with the American Revolution guy with the bowling ball. This is what I always thought he had, by the way, when I was a kid. Because he has a bowling ball there. So that's what I grew up with, you know? So I love these uniforms. I think they're sharp. I think they look great. The Steve Grogan's, Tony Eason, absolutely. Do they have the best Yeah. I think I might vote yes for this. I think this is reality. I like these a lot. I think they're sharp. I think they look good. You know, I'm not saying every old uniform is better than the current newer ones. There are some newer ones that I do like here, but not these. I think these uniforms are so much better than what the Patriots wear nowadays. So, yes, give me these. Give me all these old Patriot uniforms, throwbacks. Give me them all.
So I do love the throwback uniforms. I mean, just in general, there's just something about that aesthetic, that 80s, 90s aesthetic. I don't think these are the absolute best though, because the absolute best throwback jerseys, I mean, it's got to be the Chargers throwback, right? It's got to be the powder blue Chargers. I also think the Chiefs, which are the Dallas Texans, I'm pretty partial to those. It's got the big Texas on the helmet. I also, even in terms of AFC East throwbacks, isn't the Buffalo Bills with the line going through the bill on the helmet, aren't those amazing? I mean, those are absolutely the best to me. So I got fantasy here. I'm gonna rank them Chargers first, Bills second, Patriots third. So I got fantasy on that one. Our next one, this brings me much joy to report, but right now no player has probably beaten preseason expectations more than my guy, University of Oklahoma graduate Jalen Hurts. He is just skyrocketed in MVP futures. So fantasy or reality, Jalen Hurts at +550 is the best bet you can make right now for NFL MVP, George?
It depends on how you look at it. Do I think he'll win the award? I think he's got a shot, but I don't know if he'll win it. But I think the odds are only going to get – they're not going to be in your favor. They're going to keep going down because his schedule is not difficult. You could make the argument right now that the Eagles will be favored in every game they play the rest of the season. There's only two games when I look at that schedule they may not be favored in. They play Green Bay, but they play Green Bay at home. I think they're the favorite there, plus a point, plus two, plus three, whatever it might be. And then the game against Dallas on the road. Those are the only two games they may not be the favorite in. Think about that. So he's going to put up monster numbers here. I said before the season started, I was big on the Eagles, loved everything they did. But I said about Hurts, yeah, I don't, for the Eagles to be good, they needed him to take the next step in his progression. You know, he didn't need to be an All-Pro, just the next step in his progression. Well, he's gone beyond that, right? He does look like the All-Pro, quarterback who's all figured it out. I mean, getting A.J. Brown, I mean, I hated that trade when it happened. As a Cowboy fan, I hated the trade because I thought that might have been a big piece of the puzzle here. So I think if you want him, you better take it now because it's, what, +550 as I'm hearing in my ear? It's going to go down. It's going to go down because his numbers are going to keep piling up here. Will he win the award? We'll see here. Maybe yes, maybe no. But I think if you're going to bet him, if you believe in him, bet it now.
Yes, I definitely think you are correct about that. I mean, reality, it's the best of the four guys who I think can realistically win. I think the only four players who are eligible to win this award are Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, and Jalen Hurts. The one other number I would point out is Tom Brady right now is listed at 35-1. The Buccaneers have stunk this year, but they got Mike Evans back, they got Julio Jones back, they got Chris Godwin back, they scored 31 points against the Chiefs. That division does not look very good. 10 wins could probably win that division, so that's going to be big for him. And just how much would these sports writers love to give Tom Brady an MVP in his final season? I mean, these guys who have been covering Brady since he came in for Noodle Arm Bledsoe would love to send Tom on his way with one final, feather in his cap. I think Brady at 35-1 is bettable, but I do think it is a reality. Hurts at 5-1 or 6-1 right now is the best bet on the board, so I have reality. Finally, we are returning to the infamous slap. Will Smith has had a movie in the works for a while. It was maybe not going to be released. It had been postponed. It had been pushed back. And I think now the general idea is that the furor over the incident with Chris Rock has pretty much passed over. And I mean, it's an open question. I guess supposedly he is banned from the Oscars, the Academy Awards. People are not super into Will Smith right now. But I believe, I don't know the context of this movie, but I believe it is like a very serious, dramatic, close up on Will Smith's, face type thing. So fantasy reality, Will Smith will be nominated for an Oscar this year.
God, I still remember when this happened. I think I was working for us. I forget what I was doing, but I think I was maybe producing a show. And I thought this was a joke. I'm like, what the hell did I just – I wasn't watching it live. I'm like, did this just happen? It's all over Twitter. Did this just happen? Really? Seriously? I think because you're asking, will he be nominated? I think he might be nominated, but he won't win. I can't see how they're going to let him win and walk up on stage. I just can't see that happening. So I think he could be nominated. And even that, I think, might be a little bit of a stretch. But if, so also, I guess that's reality. I think he could be nominated, but no way in hell is he winning an award. I mean, I think the Academy would throw up all over themselves if he did. So getting both answers here. Nominated? Yeah, I think that could happen. I don't know the movie. I doubt I'll go see it. But sure, maybe it'll be a great movie. He is a very good actor. I actually like Will Smith. I like his music and I like him as an actor. That being said, I think this will be another sort of extension of the punishment where even if it is that good, he won't win the award.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he will. I don't even think he will get nominated. I mean, the Academy Awards, all of this stuff, it tends to be very political. It tends to be extremely, you know, based on, you know, who hasn't won in a while, who is the good soldier. Like, you know, a lot of the voters are not even watching the movies and things like that. So I got fantasy. And now, if the question was, will Smith ever be nominated again? Will he ever win again? Then maybe the answer would be reality. You know, Will Smith is going to keep churning out these. I mean, and Will Smith, you're totally right. I mean, great actors, made a lot of great movies, has been in funny movies, has been in action movies, has been in, and, you know, really emotional dramas. He's done pretty much everything. Wonder if he'll ever enter into the Marvel cinematic universe. But yeah, I got fantasy for this year. You know, so that's about where we're at. So we got we got a big weekend coming up. The playoffs are starting week 5 of fantasy football. But George, I gotta know, are you a Star Wars guy? Have you been watching or a Lord of the Rings guy? Have you been watching either of the two big series right now, Andor or Rings of Power?
I am a huge Star Wars guy. I've watched the first couple of episodes of Andor. My wife and I were originally thinking about waiting and binging it all at once, but we couldn't wait because we wanted to watch. So we watched the first two episodes last weekend. We'll probably finish that, catch up, I should say, this weekend. As far as Lord of the Rings, I watched the first two episodes and I thought it was terrible. It was boring. It was making me want to do, when you're making me want to do housework, all right, as far as painting or whatever, then I know I'm not watching you anymore. So I stopped watching that. I am watching the House of Dragons, for that's worth, if you're a Game of Thrones guy. I've caught up on that. So I'd rather have dragons than Lord of the Rings, but Star Wars over all of it.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed Andor. I thought the fourth episode of Andor was really strong. I have the fifth episode scheduled for watching at some point today. I'm kind of with you. I mean, I am sticking with Rings of Power, because I mean I love the original movies. I loved reading Lord of the Rings when I was a kid. I certainly do not agree with all of the choices they have made, but man, it's hard to find the time right now. I mean, we got college football on, we got NFL on 3 days a week, taking up your entire Sunday. It's like, and we got basketball coming back soon. Hockey starts on October 11th. How does anyone find the time, George? But we are going to go ahead and wrap up the show here today. We're going to head into break. We're going to finish it with the Sports Grid 60, so don't go anywhere. Stay on the grid. George and I will see you back here in just a few moments.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back into Fantasy Sports Day here on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Matic, joined by George Kurtz. As always, we're going to end our show with a little something we like to call the Sports Grid 60.
Yeah, I talked about it earlier in the show. I want to give, once again, props to the Texas Rangers for pitching to Aaron Judge. They didn't tee it up. By the way, they were trying to get him out, and were pretty successful the first couple of games there. But we saw in the past couple of series, the Boston Red Sox, the team that had nothing to play for, pitching around them. Toronto Blue Jays pitching around him. Now, Toronto, I understood. They had something to play for. All right. Pitching around Judge is the right way about going to beat the Yankees. Don't let the big man beat you. No one else can hit on the team. All right. So it was a smart thing to do here. But we had nothing to play for. It's kind of ridiculous here for Boston, Baltimore, what they would do. I mean, really, it got to be a joke after a while. You know, I think he was walked once for first and second and one out in the extra innings to put him below the bases with no base open. Well, I guess no base in front of first base open. So good for the Rangers for doing it. I thought, hey, they gave him a shot. He took advantage of it, hit the home run. It's really what we all wanted to see.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I mean, I was telling this to Craig yesterday. I was like, for a lot of these guys, you know, we are just not going to remember who they are. You know, it's like some Blue Jays reliever. We're never going to remember who you are. But the guy who did throw number 62 to Aaron Judge last night, he will at least be a trivia answer. You know, we're going to be doing bar trivia in 10 years, and it'll be a baseball category, and it will be who was the pitcher who threw the hanging changeup or whatever to Aaron Judge for home run number 62. I do just also want to make one last quick mention. I know Aaron Judge is going to win the MVP. If this does have an impact next year, when we go back to bat, you know, if Shohei Ohtani is 8-1, 10-1 to win the American League MVP, that is, you know, generational wealth. I think Ohtani, every season he's healthy, unless someone truly breaks a record, is the AL MVP. Guys, we're going to wrap up the show. Thanks to George. Thanks to Brett. Stay on the grid for the rest of the day. We will see you back tomorrow with Craig. Have a nice day, everybody.